Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel once again. And in this video, I'm going to consider whether the Conservatives will come third, because opinion polls now show them in third place, some opinion polls. Labour first, way out in front, you know, about sort of 15 percentage points ahead, at least. Reform UK in second position, which is staggering, given a couple of years ago, they were like, you know, like 4% of the polls. The Conservatives in third position, then the Liberal Democrats and the SNP et al. The thing is, in the breakdown of parliamentary seats, it would be Labour first by a few hundred seats, and then the Liberal Democrats second, by some reckoning, narrowly ahead of the Conservatives, and Reform would get 4 at most, possibly 0. I'm saying 2. Rotherham, maybe Clacton, maybe somewhere else, but really that's it. Because this first-past-the-post system is grossly unfair, and there's almost no proportionality between the number of seats you get, the number of votes you can get. You know, in the 20th century, there are 20 elections. In 5 of those elections, the party that got the most seats for Westminster did not get the most votes. So when was it? 1923, memory serves. 1929, if I got that right, certainly 1951, 1974. Am I forgetting one? Did I say 1951? Is it just 4 times? Forgive me. One of the 1974 elections, I think it was the February one, not the October one. So we could go on, and you can go up hugely in votes, go down in seats, vice versa. You know, the Liberal Democrats got almost 4 times as many votes as the SNP last time, but the Scottish National Party, got triple the number of votes as the SNP, but the Scottish National Party got quadruple the number of votes, the number of seats, forgive me, is all to do with efficiency of distribution. Them being concentrated in geographic areas to win by enough 70,000 voters, roughly speaking, in a constituency. That's voters, not people. They can be well over 70,000 people. Children, people can't vote for reasons of citizenship, bill not registered, people are serving long prison sentences, people detained under the Mental Health Act, peers, the king. These are the categories who are not entitled to vote. You think they deserve 0 seats? Okay. Well, that's another point, is there is no justice in politics. Yeah, you do not get what you deserve. So this tends to exaggerate the lead of the largest party. And Labour got very close to what they should have got in sense proportionally, because they got, 32% of the vote and 33% of the seats, but the Conservatives getting 44% of the vote and 55% of the seats last time. But it's astonishing the way a Conservative landslide looks to be followed by a Labour landslide. Now, that's never happened. One party has a landslide and they do maybe narrowly win next time, and then the other party wins, not necessarily by a landslide, but to go right that way in one fell swoop is unprecedented. Because this can't happen, never happens before. There's always a first time. So the Conservatives, I don't think the Conservatives actually will come third in terms of share of the vote or indeed seats, but it'll be close. So I know I'm thinking about 100 seats for the Conservatives now. Obviously, I have to revise this every day. And vote share maybe 24% at the moment. So, because I do have leanings in that direction, so I'm trying to guard against want to believability. There may be this sort of optimism bias, but with the Conservative Party, I often say, really, it's my worst fears are usually realised. I'm almost always disappointed. Right. So, but anyway, let's supposing that did happen, because this can happen. A century ago, Labour pushed the Liberals out as the third biggest party. Remember, it was called the Liberal Party, not Liberal Democrats back then, 1922. And so Labour became the second biggest party in terms of share of the vote and number of seats. You might have thought with the Conservatives on the right and Labour on the left, the Liberals in the centre would do really well. Now, Liberals often reject that left-right analysis. That axis is wrong. They said it's the liberalism versus illiberalism axis, and accept that they're small L Liberals in the two major parties. But the Liberals did suffer that, the strange death of Liberal England, you should read by George Dangerfield. Actually, it's mostly about what went wrong before the First World War and how the First World War then really finished them off. But they were split, formally split, because there was that December 1916 a cabinet coup, where Lloyd George, a Liberal, forced out Herbert Henry Asquith, who was the Liberal Prime Minister. Asquithy, a functioning alcoholic, hit the bottle after the death of his beloved son, Raymond Asquith, MP. And so then there was a coalition with Lloyd George, a Liberal, presiding over a mostly Conservative cabinet. About a third of the Liberal Party followed Lloyd George. 2/3 followed Asquith, who remained the official leader of the Liberal Party. So Asquithian Liberals versus Lloyd George Liberals, and then hopelessly divided through the 30s between Simonite Liberals, Samuelite Liberals, were then national Liberals as well, eventually absorbed into the Conservative Party over a space of almost 50 years. But the Conservatives are facing something a little bit like that, because there's Reform UK, which I know isn't a formal breakaway from the Conservative and Unionist Party, but they're mostly formerly Conservative-leaning voters. And that itself, Reform UK, is the rebaptism of the Brexit Party, which itself is a breakaway from the UK Independence Party. The UK Independence Party still exists, actually. It's got a new leader, a woman, I can't remember her name. Look at its website. Most of its top positions are still unfilled. No photos of those they do have in supposed leading positions in the party. But if this did happen, the question is this a flash in the pan? Do the Conservatives recover quite quickly? Possibly. Or do the Liberal Democrats replace them permanently? Now, one of the many problems of the Conservative Party is its gerontocracy. It relies on older voters. It always has done, but its reliance on them is heavier than ever before. I think the average age at which you become more likely to vote Conservative than Labour this time will be 60. Last time it was 47, bearing in mind that was a vintage year for the Conservative Party. Now, obviously, older voters die off. There are fewer people in their 60s than there are in their 20s. And then they've got to be replaced by people becoming Conservative as they get older, which might not happen at the same rate. Now, the Conservatives have all been fairly unpopular with people under 30, but now they're bitterly unpopular. If you look at 18-year-olds, the youngest people could vote, only 7% of 18-year-olds want to vote Conservative. Seven. Last time was like 17%. But I mean, they're also attracted to the far left parties a bit more, like the Workers' Party of Britain, the Green Party. So Labour do well with them, but not as fantastically as amongst people in their 30s, for instance. Labour wanting to reduce the voting age to 16, which will only redound to the advantage of anti-Conservatives. But admittedly, the turnout will be very poor. You know, Labour could bring in compulsory voting. But if the Liberals became the Liberal Democrats are the third biggest party, that will really shift the dynamic to the Liberal left. That will be the centre of the centre ground of politics even more than already is. And the question is, how would the Conservative Party respond to that? By itself moving to the left economically on other issues, or saying, no, we're going to be hardline right-wingers to win back Reform UK. The question is, what happens to Reform UK? Is it a flash in the pan? Is it a one-hit wonder? Or is this something that's going to last for several electoral cycles? Because you look at the UK Independence Party, founded as the Anti-Federalist League way back in, I think it was 1993. And these parties are all founded, and they often founder after a couple of years. But to everyone's astonishment, it only kept growing and growing and growing. And look how its offspring, Reform UK, is doing so well now, to be the second biggest party, which is extraordinary, with one MP, one Lee Anderson that place in Derbyshire, Ashfield, who defected from the Conservatives, himself a former Labour councillor. But if Reform UK becomes a permanent part of the political scene, that is very serious trouble for the Conservative Party indeed. If they can't reunite, if they can't squash them to have Farage as leader of the Conservative Party. I mean, I think the Conservative Party would actually say no to that, because he left the Conservative Party like 35 years ago. He's been a thorn in their side for decades. No, he's been against them. He's ruined it so far as they've seen. Now, admittedly, they partly ruined it themselves. So I don't think he'd be allowed back in. But Penny Mordaunt pointedly didn't exclude the possibility, which probably she should have done. Now, you could always renege on that. Decision wouldn't be up to her as an individual. We can see we live in very interesting times. It's almost unprecedented. But if the Liberal Democrats were there, then Labour would have a much better chance of, say, rebuilding a closer relationship with the European Union, even reversing Brexit, possibly with a referendum. It would really reduce the possibility of secession from North Britain, which is fairly low anyway, but even lower if the Conservatives are very weak, because, of course, they're bitterly unpopular north of Hadrian's Wall. What else would it do? Probably more cordial relations with the Republic of Ireland. The word in Dublin is the Irish government would applaud the advent of a Labour government, and the Liberal Democrats probably even more so. Remember, the Lib Dems are the Euro fanatic party who believed the United Kingdom should have got rid of the pound sterling in 2002 and joined the Euro. And that would have made Brexit even more difficult, maybe impossible. So it would change things a lot if the Liberal Democrats became the second biggest party and stayed the second biggest party. Depends, do the second biggest party by one seat in Westminster or 20 seats or what? And would they hold that? 5 years hence, 2029, what happens? Do a lot of Tory voters return to the Tory fold, or does Reform UK become something that is significant for several elections? And that is the imponderable. We just don't know now. Reform UK might seem worth donating to, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I don't think Reform UK is going to be that big for that long. As I say, the most optimistic scenario is they get 4 seats. Opinion polling, oh, you say it's a fool's errand. But these things are ever more scientific. I know Labour people say, look at 1970. On election day, the Labour government was 14 percentage points ahead in a poll, and Labour still lost by a few percent. Yes, but that was a freak poll. There were several other polls which showed the Conservatives ahead, even though not by much. And polling has got much better. These mega polls of 60,000 people controlling for all sorts of variables. I mean, not just age, sex, occupation, level of education, ethnicity, religion, housing status as an owner, occupier, rentier, tenant, lodger, which sector of the economy you live in, which exact, which constituency you live in, anything, sexual orientation. I can't think what else. So that's why the data is increasingly accurate. Now, the wild card is the don't knows, the sort of at least 10% who say don't know, and they are removed from the opinion poll. You know, if it shows that Labour is going to win 40% and then the don't knows, we'll give 40% of the don't knows to Labour. Yeah, put a bump up to 44%. But that's inaccurate. So the don't knows don't vote quite a lot. And of the don't knows, maybe more of the don't knows vote for Conservatives than you might think, which is usually the case. As I say, at the moment, 24% is about the most optimistic scenario for the Conservatives. People say it's unprecedented. Just because something's unprecedented doesn't mean it can't happen, right? It can, and it does. I think the Liberal Democrats won't do quite as well as people think. People saying they're getting at 60 seats, which would be the best result since Charles Kennedy in 2005 after the Iraq War, or to significantly exceed 63. Will that be their best result since, my goodness, I think 1924? But the thing is, in terms of share of the vote, they look to be well behind Reform UK in the low teens. Another notable thing about the Conservative Party is for 6 elections in a row, the Conservative share of the vote went up. 6. The Nadir was 1997. 2000 went up. 2001 went up by, 0.6%. 2005 went up by about 2%. Michael Howard is hailed as a triumph, whereas Haig was panned as a disaster, despite having almost the same vote share, went up by a couple of percentage points. Indeed, it in 2010, when they won, went up 4 points to 2015, went up 5 points in 2017, went up 4 points in 2019, and that was the zenith, and now it's going to come crashing down to about half of what it was before. So that's the astonishing thing. So it could be Conservatives out of power for a very long time. And if they're below the Liberal Democrats, do they get squeezed and squeezed by Labour to the left, by Reform UK to their right, and just never a party of government again? Tony Blair said he wants to make the annihilation of the Conservative Party his legacy. Well, you can see how that turned out for him. A big tent of Liberal Democrats and Labour or something like that. But obviously he completely failed to do so. He did compel the Conservative Party to reform itself. So it's fascinating. I was wondering whether Reform UK took their name from the Reform Party of the United States, which, of course, was a big spoiler, was a major factor in the 1992 election when Ross Perot, that Texan billionaire, stood and garnered 18% of the popular vote, which was staggering, the best result since about 1924 for a third party candidate. Did significantly well in 1996, but since then, like sort of 1%. And roughly the same agenda, the same kind of, how to put it, hardline nationalist, anti-immigration rhetoric, anti-free trade rhetoric, maverick. Right, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Goodbye, everyone.